Good to see everyone here tonight. You will open in your Bibles Exodus chapter 8. We're reading verses 25 through 28. That's Exodus chapter 8, verses 25 through 28. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not appropriate so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far. Entreat for me." Compromise. Seems like it fills our society today. We see it in our halls of Congress. We see it just about everywhere where there's always a give and take, a little bit here and there. And on a lot of good levels, that's how things get accomplished, that some good for each side is accomplished. But when it comes to serving the Lord, compromise is not a good thing. Here we are looking at the devil, the great compromiser through Pharaoh himself. And if the devil can get us to compromise the truth, he is well pleased with that accomplishment. When Moses was getting ready to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage to the land of promise, the devil tried to make compromises with him. In Exodus chapter 8 through chapter 10, we can read of 4 separate compromises that the devil tried to get Moses to accept. And by looking at how Moses dealt with these compromises, we have insight in how we also can deal with compromise. You know, as Paul wrote in Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever was written aforetime were written for our learning." I must admit that the Malden Church is one of the few churches where compromise has ever occurred. You stand for the truth. You uphold the truth. And I am privileged, Vicki and I both, of being associated with you all. You work very hard at trying to live that Christian life. And you do it very well. Even though we do occasionally have situations that arise or we're not always perfect, we strive diligently to do those things that we know are right. But in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25, Pharaoh said that they can go. They can go and sacrifice to God, but they had to stay there. They couldn't go out of the land. Wasn't going to let them leave. In the spiritual realm, the devil has no objection whatsoever for us worshiping, just as long as we do not do it as the Lord's church. He has deluded the masses of the world to think that it doesn't really make a difference, because we're all, after everything's said and done, worshiping the same God. But see, this is where the problem lies. If this was true, that it doesn't matter, then John misquoted Jesus in John 4 and verse 24, that God is spirit and that we must worship him in spirit and truth. But see, John wasn't wrong. John had it exactly right. He did not misquote. By these words and these words alone, God will only accept that worship which he has described and commanded. It really, truly does make a difference on how we worship. Jesus in Matthew 15 in verses 8 and 9, he denounced in these verses the commandments and precepts of man. He claimed and stated that they were vain worship. And we could probably make the argument that Pharaoh was going to let them make sacrifices to God, and he was. There's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what Moses wanted, wasn't it? It's not what God commanded. And that's not what God had directed Moses to do. You see, we know the whole story. Moses' command was to get the people out of Egypt. These were the stepping stones. Look in verse 26 and 27, and this is how Moses answered that compromise. And he said, "It is not meet or appropriate so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to our Lord, to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes. They will not stone us." They knew what was going to happen. Those people are going to rise up and say they're making a mockery of our gods. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. We will sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. He was going to obey God to the letter. He was not going to offer just any sacrifice to the Lord. He was also not going to offer to God a worship that He did not authorize. We can take this back to the first worship that we ever saw in the Bible with Cain and Abel. Abel did not compromise with his sacrifice, and Cain did. God's commands are our guide and our stay. He is the one to be worshiped, and so He should be the one who needs to be pleased with our worship. Anything short of what He has commanded is not pleasing to God. Paul in Hebrews 8 and verses 4 and 5, he said, if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, says he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. See, God wasn't criticizing Moses in Exodus when it come time to build the tabernacle. He was reminding him, you make it the way I've commanded you to make it. Verse 28 of Exodus chapter 8. The Bible reads, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go far away. Entreat me. Does that sound familiar? When we enter the Lord's church, the devil doesn't want us to go very far. The devil would really like us to keep one foot in the world and one foot in church. That would be a win-win for him, because he still has a piece of you. We don't have to give up all the worldly things. There are a lot of things that I enjoy in life that are of the world. I'm not living in the world. The devil wants us to be convinced that we can live in both places at the same time. I guess the devil wants us to consider that we can multitask. If we must be in the church, the devil really would like us to be worldly Christians. He wants us to believe that there's no harm in missing assemblies. He wants us to believe that there's no harm in innocent, immodest dress. He wants us to believe that there's no harm in social drinking or gambling. And if he can get us to compromise in these matters, then he has us. There are enemies in the Lord's church. They are friends of the world. And any friend of the world is an enemy of God. In James 4 and verse 4, it reads, "You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Paul encouraging Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Paul said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." We must keep ourselves out of the worldly and compromising situations. Look at Exodus chapter 10. Verses 8 through 11 of Exodus 10 says, "And Moses and Aaron were brought again before Pharaoh. And he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that are to go? And Moses said, We will go with our young, we will go with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, serve the Lord, for that you did desire. And they were driven from the Pharaoh's presence. Here we find the third compromise. And that compromise was, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. Now let that sink for just a second. The men could go. Children have to stay behind. If the children have to stay behind, mom's got to stay behind. Now, what man do you know of who has his salt and loves his family is going to go 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord and not return home? None that I know of. Not a single man in this congregation I know of would do that. Pharaoh's trying to put them over a barrel. We would not leave them behind. You know, Satan, the devil, does not want us to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He wants us to leave our little ones. He wants us to think, well, when they get to that age, they can decide what they want to do. He wants us to leave our little ones. He wants to hear us say, well, they're too young to go. Or they have too much homework to go. Or they have a ball game they need to go to and they can't leave their teammates down. If we can compromise in that, then the devil knows he has us. He doesn't want us to teach his word to our children. If mom and dad want to have a Bible study, that's okay, but let's not bother the children. The Bible's too hard for them to understand. Here the other week when Kaylin had her list of Bible lessons and she had her Bible and opened it up, and what a wonderful little Bible that is for a children's Bible. It explains so much in a way that children can understand. And it has a lot of good things, and it really warmed my heart that these things are being done for our children, that they can learn in steps of God's will. We try to, even as adults, the Bible is too hard to understand, but it truly isn't. You know, I was shocked in the military when they told us that all of our technical orders and regulations were written on an eighth grade level. I kind of felt insulted after that. Now, I don't know what level they were written in for the Army, okay, but you know, it was one of these things. The Bible is written the same way. When they sat and analyzed it, it was written on an eighth grade level. Now, it might be a little hard for our youngest ones, but we can fix that. God commanded the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 in the first 9 verses to keep all of His commandments and statutes. But He also commanded them in these verses that they were to teach their children. Now, if God's word was too hard, why would He tell them to teach their own children? Following Moses' example, we need to say we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters. Our children are the church of tomorrow. And I feel confident that the Malden Church will be around at least another generation because we have young people who care. And we have children who are being taught. Our children are being brought up in the faith. But we also need to be able to teach them by example and precept. In verse 24 of Exodus chapter 10, it reads, "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds stay. Let your little ones go with you also." The last compromise. Go ahead and take everybody with you, but your livelihood, your flocks and your herds, they can't go. You can almost hear what the devil is whispering in Pharaoh's ear. If they leave behind their livelihood, they're going to soon get hungry. Their clothes are going to wear out, and their flocks, they're not going to have any way to clothe themselves. They're not going to have anything for later on to be able to sell and to barter. So they're going to be back soon. The devil can get us to leave our stuff. He has us. We can go to every service. We can go to every activity, to every Bible study. But if we do not use of our possessions to advance the kingdom of heaven, He has us. You know, we can pile up our money in the bank. And we don't have to use it to further the work of saving souls. And if we can be taught by Satan to think this way, He has us. You know, every year when we have our budget planning and we figure out the budget for the year, the coming year, this always sticks with me every year. Every year it seems our budget goes up a little bit. This is the first year where the weekly budget has actually dropped. But I can almost hear from the first business meeting I ever sat in, Joel Foster saying, well, if we put the price up there, the brethren will meet that. And they have every single time. We have never, ever, ever, since at least I've been here and probably not in the existence of this congregation, ever been in the red. Because of your generosity. Because of you putting the Lord first. Moses would not compromise here. Now, it could be really easy, I think, to compromise. It even might seem to be a wise decision or a wise compromise to make. After all, I get to take everybody with me. That was the goal to begin with, was it not? And, you know, in order to have peace between us, we get to go. Well, that's not what Moses did, and that wasn't what was going to please God. Because Moses says in verse 26, our cattle shall also go, there shall not be a hoof left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God. We know not with what we must serve the Lord until we get there. He doesn't know what it's going to take. It's going to be a Boy Scout here. Always be prepared. I go back and I think of an old Popeye cartoon. Wimpy is a plumber. And Olive Oil has a big bad leak in a house. And she calls Wimpy as the plumber. And Wimpy runs out of his shop with his little bag of tools. And he gets right to Olive Oil's place. And he says, oop, forgot my lunch. Ran back. Then got back. Oop, forgot my tools. Forgot my hat. Moses wasn't going to put himself in that predicament. He didn't know at that very point of what God was going to require of the children of Israel in the future. And we don't even know what may be required of us. But the spirit that Moses showed is the spirit that takes men to heaven. We must lay everything at the Master's feet. All that we are, all that we have, is to be given as a sacrifice unto the Lord. This is the attitude that the churches of Macedonia had and what Paul recorded of in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in the first five verses. Were the brethren at Macedonia rich? No. Paul said that because of their abundance of joy, while they were in deep poverty, they were liberal givers, not just of their means, but of themselves. It takes money to be able to clothe ourselves for food and for shelter. But are we really purposing in our hearts when we give on the first day of the week? You know, the only money that we are really saving is what we are putting out to the work of the Lord. Jesus in Matthew 6 and verses 19 and 20 reminds us about laying up treasures on earth where rust and moth does corrupt. We are to lay up our treasures in heaven. And that is our ultimate goal. For where our treasures are, there is our heart also. Compromising in certain things can be a good thing and can benefit many people. But compromising in our service to the Lord must never occur. It will be our downfall. And the only winner of it all will be Satan. If you are not a child of God this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to become one. Put your Lord and Savior on in baptism to have your sins washed away. The Lord has given us a way to heaven. We only have to reach forth and take it. And as God will not compromise, so must we not compromise. In God's commands, yes, we can be good people. We can be a loving and caring good person. But if we are not in the Lord, we're not in. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have made compromises in your life that you thought at that time was a good idea, but now realize it wasn't. We need to think long and hard on a lot of things in our lives. Are we living for the Lord first, or is other things taking priority? I see good all the time in the Lord's church here. I see love, compassion, and caring for one another. And I don't ever want to lose that, and neither do you. We stand for the truth. If we let the Bible be our guide, we will always remain that way. Regardless of what everyone else is doing around us, we need to stay the course. If there's anyone here this evening who has a need, prayers the congregation for whatever reason, put the Lord on and baptize them to repent of sins in your life. We want to give you that opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.